This morning we're going to kind of pick up where we left off on Easter Sunday. And for Good Friday and Easter Sunday, we began a series that we're calling Windows. So that's why there's windows around on Sunday mornings. And the reason that we're doing that is because we're talking about this idea that when we have hope and when we have faith in the resurrection of Jesus, when we believe that that actually happened, it changes the windows through which we look at the world. And everything about the way that we see ourselves, the way that we see God, and the way that we see the world around us changes because Jesus died on Friday and then was alive again on Sunday. And if we believe that, if that's the story that we want to tell as followers of Jesus, then we've got to embrace the idea that everything changes as a result of that. Nothing can stay the same if that event is really true in our lives. And so last week we talked about this idea that it requires faith to believe that a man died on Friday and then rose again on Sunday. Can we all agree with that? Whether you believe it or not, as you're sitting here this morning, it requires some measure of faith to believe that Jesus died on Friday and that he was alive again on Sunday. And so this week we're going to talk about this idea of hope, and then next week we're going to talk about love. So we're talking about faith, hope, and love. If you've kind of followed through the New Testament, you might have recognized some of those words and phrases because they show up several different times and in several different places. A few years ago, about 6 years ago, in fact, I was working on a major project relationally. And this project relationally was the fact that my wife works outside of our home, and then she also works inside of our home. She works really hard. Any of you who know Rita know that she is she's one of those people who has the motor that doesn't stop. And maybe some of you have that person in your life, or you know that person in your life. And so because Rita has this motor that doesn't stop, she kind of tends to get herself to the place where she kind of hits a wall eventually. I mean, those people who kind of have that motor, they hit a wall and they kind of, you know, everything kind of falls apart and you're like, oh my goodness, what's going on here? And so my wife, we had young kids at the time. She was working inside of our house, trying to take care of that part of our life. She's working outside of the house really hard, and she was really pushing hard, and she was coming up on her 30th birthday, and I decided, here's what I want to do. I want to throw my wife a big party for her 30th birthday, because she's working so incredibly, and she's just kind of pushing so much to get everything done, and she really kind of deserves this party. And so what I decided, some of you, I kind of hesitate to confess this morning, but I can be a little secretive under the right circumstances. I can kind of, I don't know if I should say this really out loud, I can lie to my wife and not feel overly guilty about it when it's for a good reason, like the fact that I wanted to pull off a surprise party for her 30th birthday. And so we had young kids at the time, and so they were not really going to blow the surprise. I talked to them about this morning. They were not old enough to kind of know what was going on. And so behind the scenes, I started to kind of put all of these things in place to get the party, this 30th birthday party, ready for her. I started to kind of make sure that we had food, because it's a party, you have to have food. Does that make sense? It's a party, so therefore there must be food. Trying to get my friends and my family there to my parents' house in Connecticut, and trying to just kind of arrange everything and organize everything, food, family, and friends. And then the big surprise that I really wanted to pull off was her parents, her mom and her sisters who lived in West Virginia. I wanted to bring them up kind of without her knowing, and then kind of bring them out and kind of unveil them as the big surprise present for her party. And so we kind of, the whole drive to Connecticut, as we were driving there on that Saturday, I am just praying, like, God, please don't let anything ruin this, right? Because I worked for like 6 months to get this whole thing together, got her family there, got her best friend from when she grew up in West Virginia, got her there. I had all of this stuff planned, and I'm just praying like the whole time, like, please don't let anything go wrong. To get in an accident, don't let anybody get, you know, lost or any of those kinds of things. And so we drove up to my parents' house in Connecticut, and all of a sudden everything kind of dawned on her as she saw all of these cars there, and she realized kind of, wow, there's a lot of people here at your parents' house for, I don't even remember what I told her we were going there for. And so she kind of got out, and she started to realize, okay, this is for my birthday, and she started to think, okay, you know, cool, we'll see friends and family, and she saw friends from church, and she saw all my family from Connecticut. And then as everybody's saying happy birthday, her mom and her sisters started walking down the stairs, and her face just lit up. And if you know my wife, when you see her smile, like for real smile, It's a beautiful thing. And she had this smile like from ear to ear, and I thought, everything that I worked for was worth it, right? And I feel like, to some degree, like I may still be living off points that I gained 6 years ago. I'll just be honest with that. I don't know what I'm going to do on 40 because, you know, at some point I might have to top this. But that moment when her mom and her sisters came down the steps, I thought, everything is worth it. Everything that I went through to kind of put all this together, all the stress, all those moments when I felt like things weren't coming together the way that they were supposed to, all of it was worth it. And for you, you know, maybe some of you at some point in your life, you have had the experience of just kind of working towards something, whether it's relationally, whether it's working towards an event or something in your lives, and you've kind of moved towards that place and you have this goal, you have this hope, you have this vision or this dream for the future that you're looking for in your life. But what you understand and what I understand is that just because you've got something out there that you're working towards doesn't mean that every step along the way is easy. Does that make sense? So just because you've got a dream, you've got a hope, you've got a vision, maybe you're young enough and you want to go to college and you've got a kind of a dream for the career that you want for your life. Maybe it's a dream that you have for a relationship in your life and you start working towards those goals. But what you understand is as you work towards that, not everything goes smoothly. Can we all agree with that? Has anybody ever experienced bumps in the road? And sometimes we feel like because we're following Jesus, part of his deal is he's supposed to just kind of smooth out all of these bumps for us. And that doesn't happen, right? And there are moments when you are working towards any goal, moments when you are working towards any hope, any vision, any preferred future for your life, you will come across moments, this may not come as news to you, you will come across moments when you feel like giving up. You'll feel like, is this worth it? I mean, is it worth it for me to make the sacrifices that I'm making in order to move towards this dream? Is it worth it for me to kind of push through this opposition or the challenges that I'm facing in this relationship or on this path towards my career or whatever it is? Is it worth it for me to keep making these sacrifices? And here's the difference between the people who give up and the people who make it through to the end. It's this little four-letter word that we all love, but that kind of bothers us. It's hope. It's hope. People who have hope are capable of persevering through incredible opposition, through incredible challenges, and they will make choices, sacrifices, and they will give up things in the moment if they believe that there's something in the future that's sure and that's certain for them in their lives. They will sacrifice pain and opposition and challenges and struggles now if they have hope in the future. And nothing, on the other hand, nothing will kill your dreams quicker than a lack of hope. Because when you lose hope, you give up on your dream. When you lose hope, you give up on that future that you think you are working towards, that thing that you believe that God kind of placed inside of your heart and inside of your soul. Hope is what makes the difference between the people who quit and the people who don't. That's the difference. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, we're going to just briefly stop there, and then we're going to get to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and we're going to kind of explore this a little bit more next week, Paul kind of writes this letter, and in the middle of his letter, he has this beautiful moment where he says, now there are three things that remain in our lives as followers of Jesus, and we already outlined them this morning. Three things that will remain in our hearts and in our lives: faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. So next week, you have to come back because next week's better than this week. So this idea that there are three things that if we choose to follow Jesus, there are three things that will stay sure and steady and secure in our hearts and in our souls. And we cannot live very long as a follower of Jesus without hope. We can't live very long, and we can't live very successfully as a follower of Jesus if we give up hope in the future that God has prepared for us. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Paul writes this one chapter long kind of exposition all about the event that we talked about last week. It's all about the resurrection of Jesus. It's all about this idea that Jesus died on Friday and that Jesus was alive again on Sunday, and that because that was true, everything about their lives needed to change. Everything about who they were and the way that they would see the world different. It couldn't be the same way again. And here's how he begins in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1. It says, now, brothers and sisters, I want to remind you of the gospel that I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel you are saved if you hold firmly to the word I preach to you. Otherwise, you have believed in vain. Or otherwise, your faith is all in vain if you don't hold on to what I'm about to tell you. What I received, I pass on to you as of first importance. Does that make sense? Top of the line. Top of the list. Here's the most important thing for you to remember. So I guess we should pay attention to that. That Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. Here's the deal. If you don't get anything else, he says, here's the first thing that I passed on to you, and here's cannot lose sight of as you go through every experience that you have in your life. Please do not miss out on the reality that Jesus died for your sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried in a tomb according to the scriptures, and that on the third day he came out of the tomb alive, resurrected with power over death, hell, and the grave, everything under his feet. He says, you cannot lose sight of this. And this is what you have put your faith in, he said. And again, that's what we talked about last week. When we press our face kind of up against that window of faith and we start to believe that Jesus might actually be alive and that Jesus might actually have come out of the grave on Sunday morning and changed the history of the world. We start to believe that. But what happens for this church that Paul is writing to is some of them start to get a little bit maybe gun shy, maybe a little bit nervous about this idea that they are believing in a guy who died on Friday and rose again on Sunday. Because just like today, they sort of looked at that and they said, that's really kind of impossible that Jesus was buried and dead on Friday and then he came alive on Sunday. So here's what we'll do. Let's get away from this whole Jesus rose from the grave bodily, like his body actually came out of the tomb. And let's just kind of move towards this thing where we'll just say, Jesus is alive spiritually. And that's all that matters. Like, it doesn't matter whether Jesus died on Friday and Jesus rose again on Sunday. You don't need that because that's kind of embarrassing prehistoric faith. We can kind of deal without that. All we need to know is that Jesus is kind of like spiritually alive. And so Jesus is kind of like spiritually alive in me. Sounds very like New Agey and woo. It's great. Jesus is alive. Well, it doesn't matter. And so, sorry, I don't know where that came from. And so as they are going through this kind of this thing where they're saying it doesn't really matter if Jesus rose from the dead bodily, because here's where they were going. Here's what they were getting after. If Jesus didn't rise from the grave bodily, like if his body didn't physically come out of the tomb, then our bodies are not physically going to come out of the grave someday. And so what we do with our bodies doesn't matter. We can do whatever we want. As long as we believe Jesus is alive spiritually, we can do whatever we want with our body. And so they used this philosophy and they use this kind of approach to their bodies to say, it doesn't matter what we do. They use this approach to say, it doesn't matter if we go to the temple prostitutes. That doesn't matter because it's not really a big deal anyway because our bodies are just worm food and it's not going to matter. I can do whatever I want with my body. And if it doesn't matter what we do with our bodies, we don't have to persevere through struggles and challenges and we don't have to give stuff up that we don't like to give up when we choose to follow Jesus. We don't have to deal with any of that painful stuff. We can just do whatever we feel like doing. And because Jesus is alive spiritually, and I believe Jesus is alive spiritually, that's all that matters. Nothing else matters. And what Paul says to them is, look, hey guys, what you don't understand is when you give up the resurrection of Jesus, when you give up this idea that Jesus physically walked out of the tomb on Sunday morning, you're giving up something more than just, you know, this kind of bedrock historical fact. You're giving up not just your past, you're also giving up on your future. Because when you do away with the resurrection of Jesus and say, we don't really need that, it's kind of embarrassing, we don't really want to deal with that. When you give up on that, he says, you start to lose hope for the future. And if you start to lose hope for the future, you're going to lose steam in your work in the present, and I don't want that to happen to you. And here's what he says in verse 19. He says, if only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are to be pitied more than everyone else on the planet. I mean, if we believe that there's only hope for us in this life and there's nothing that happens to our bodies after we die, then why are we sacrificing stuff to follow Jesus? Let's just get it over with and do whatever we want to do. Does that make sense? Have you ever felt like that? I mean, if there's nothing beyond this life, and if what you do with your body right now doesn't matter, then just go ahead and do what you want to do with your body, because it's not going to make a difference, because your body's just going into the ground, and that's all that's happening. He says, if all you have is hope in this life, then you are of all men most miserable, most to be pitied, and everyone should look at us and think, why are you going through all this? I mean, why are you here on Sunday morning? You could be somewhere else. Why bother? If all you've got is hope in this life, it doesn't matter. Just do what you want to do in this life, because that's all that's going to make a difference for you. But he says, if this resurrection is true, if we begin to press our face up against this window, and if Jesus was dead on Friday and Jesus is alive again on Sunday, then we have hope not just for the world to come, we also have hope in this life. There's something that changes about the way that we operate in this world. Something changes about the way that we experience everything that we're experiencing. If we press up against that window and what we see through it is Jesus alive for us, there's hope. It starts to enter into our hearts. And so he spends the rest of chapter 15 declaring some of the most hopeful things that you could find in all of the scriptures. He starts to say, look, guys, death is swallowed up in victory because Jesus came out of the grave. It's that passage of scripture that we read when we go to funerals. And we stand on the brink of death, and we stand on the brink of someone passing from this world to the next world. And we read those words in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and we say, at some point, death will be swallowed up in victory. The grave will be finally and completely defeated. And the reason that we believe that's true is because Jesus literally died on Friday and came out of the grave again on Sunday. And he's alive and holds the keys of life, and death, and the grave. He says, our future is secured by this hope that we have in Jesus. Our future is secured by the fact that Jesus is alive and he's making us alive in himself and in his power. But then, as he gets towards the end of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, he starts to move from, okay, we've got this great hopeful future, and he begins to kind of push it back. So we've got this future that's prepared for us. So what? So what? And here's what I want to read from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 57 and 58. It says, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God who gives us right now victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And verse 58, this is really important. Therefore, and we talked about this a few weeks ago, anytime you see that word therefore in the scriptures, you want to know, why is it there? What was it put there for, so that we could understand? Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. And always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 57, a whole lot of theology about Jesus rising from the dead and the significance and the importance of that for us to believe, to work through and to look through that window at the way that we live our lives, all so that he could get to one verse in verse 58. 1 through 57, a lot of theology, a lot of understanding about the resurrection, all so that he could say in verse 58, so here's the deal. Because Jesus is alive, you can't give up. Because Jesus is alive, you have to keep working at what Jesus is asking you to work at right now. Because Jesus is alive, you can't stop pushing, and you can't stop moving, and you can't stop doing the thing that he's asked you to do and called you to do with your life, because what you are doing matters. And if you give up your hope, and if you give up this future, and you give up this dream that Jesus is going to make you alive, then if you lose sight of that, you will quit on the work that he's asking you to do right now. And here's what Paul says: I cannot afford to have you guys quit in the middle of the work that God has called you to do. I can't allow you to quit. When you start working in the right direction and you start doing the things that God is asking you to do, and when you run up against opposition and you run up against those challenges and you run up against those moments, when you feel like I might just quit, I might just give up, Paul says, I don't want you to lose hope in the moment of your struggle and in the moment of your difficulty. Because here's what he understands about us, because we're all human, just like they were in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Sometimes we will push for God's kingdom in our lives. And what that means is this: sometimes in a relationship, you will choose to do things, you will make decisions. You'll say, I'm going to do this because this is what I believe God is asking me to do in this relationship. And you're going to follow through with everything that you feel like God is asking you to do, and it's not going to work, at least according to the way that you see it. And you're going to sit there in the middle of that, and you're going to say, why am I bothering with this? And you're going to be tempted to lose hope and to give up and to quit. And I put it aside. Some of you, you guys are young, you're still in school. You're going to make choices over the next several years of your life. And some moments you are going to consciously choose to go against the grain of what every other person is doing around you. And at some point you're going to decide, I'm serious about following Jesus with my life. And so because I'm serious about that, I'm not going to participate in all of the other stuff that's happening around me. I'm going to choose to make different decisions with my life. And as you choose to make those different decisions, you are going to bump up against people in your life who are going to say, why are you doing that? That is so stupid. You are wasting your life because you're not having nearly as much fun as we are doing what we're doing. Right? And you're going to come up against these people who are going to say, forget the whole Jesus thing. I mean, you're young, live your life, you're in college, you're in high school, why do you need this whole thing? You can go back to that when you're 35 and old like me. And you're going to say, you know what? Maybe you're right. I mean, this whole following Jesus thing is really difficult, and it's kind of challenging, and it makes me say no to things that I don't want to say no to. So maybe I should just set it aside for a little while, and I'll pursue what I want to pursue with my life right now. And Paul says, look, you guys, don't give up hope on your future. Don't sell your future for this present pleasure and this present experience, right? Don't sell out your future because there's something right in front of you right now that you want, something that you wish that you could have. Don't give up hope, because the decisions that you are making right now, they matter. And so those decisions that you make in your relationships or in your school or in your workplace environment, those decisions right now matter. And in 10, 15, 20 years, you may finally realize how much those decisions matter that you are making right now. You may not see it for the next 10, 15, 20, maybe 25, 30 years of your life. You may invest and say, why is nothing changing the way that it's supposed to change? Paul says, don't give up hope in the middle of this. He says, hope will allow you to be abundant and overflowing in your work for the kingdom of God. Hope will allow you to experience joy in the work that you're doing right now, because you understand that as you work for God and for his kingdom and you make those choices and those decisions that lead you into everything that God is preparing for you, that God begins to give you joy, begins to give you satisfaction, begins to give you this kind of abundant, exuberant kind of joy and happiness in everything that you are doing in this moment, even if it's hard, even if it's a struggle, and even if it's a challenge. Because when you work for God and for His kingdom in your life, it will not fail you. It won't fail you. And here's what I mean by that. It does not mean that you will see immediate results. Sometimes you will. And other times you won't. But it does mean that when you work for God's kingdom, God's power is at work in you and in your circumstances and in the relationships and in your school and in those people that are around you. God's power is actually at work in those places with you and for you in those moments. And everything that you do now in Christ and everything that you do now to build for God's kingdom in your life, in your part of the world, everything that you do in those moments matters because God is ultimately going to rescue it all, redeem it all, and bring it all as part of His kingdom and say, here's my goal, that my kingdom would come on earth, that my will would be done on earth. And when we choose to participate in that now, even if it's against odds and even if it's against opposition and even if it's against those people that kind of push back against us, what we do matters. It cannot be in vain because it's for God, for His kingdom, and towards His will being done. And so what Paul is asking us to do is to work now in anticipation of the future. Work now in anticipation of the future that one day that you will see, one day you will see, and it may not even be in this world. One day, you will see your hope in Christ realized. One day, you will see your hope in Christ being fulfilled. One day, you will see, like we talked about last week, you will see the one who died for you and rose again for you. And in that moment, I guarantee everything else will pale in comparison. Everything else will fade. Comparison to that. And the work that you've done now will be more beautiful, more powerful, more meaningful than anything else that you could have done. Because here's what I know about us. We could spend our lives doing whatever we want to do. I mean, people will tell you this, and you know what? It's true. You can do whatever you want to do. You can build for whatever you want to build for. That's your choice. You can build your relationships on stuff that is temporary, and you can build your friendships, and you can build the decisions that you make with your life based on a, you know, 3-week timeline. Like, what's going to feel good for the next 3 weeks? Or you can choose to build your life on something that's longer lasting and more permanent and more sure and secure than what's going to happen in the next 3 weeks, the next 3 days, next 3 hours, some of us. So you can walk out and you can choose to look through whatever windows you want to look through. If you don't want to look through the window of hope towards the resurrection of Jesus and you want to just kind of ditch that whole thing and you want to make your choices according to what's going to feel good for you in this moment, you are free to do that. But I got to warn you this morning. I got to warn you that you are going to end up building your choices and making your decisions on false information and on false foundations. And you're going to end up building your relationships. You're going to make those decisions in that school environment or in your work environment or in your relationship environment. You're going to make those decisions based on just what's going to pass for the next few weeks. And as you do that, you are going to set yourself up long term to fall apart. I don't like to say that to you, but that's exactly what you're going to do. Because what's going to happen is you're going to be tempted to give up your hope, to lose the future orientation of your life for what's happening in the present. But Paul's saying to us, God's saying to us this morning, look, guys, if you want to build for something secure, you want to build for something sure, then you press your face up against this window of hope for the future resurrection of your body, your life with Jesus, because Jesus died and he's alive. And you let that hope for the future start building into the way that you make your choices today. And you start choosing differently because you believe that what you do with your body actually matters. And that if you give up now, you're giving up not just the present, but you're giving up the future that God has prepared for you. I want to ask you this morning, where are you placing your hope? Where are you placing your hope? Are you placing it in stuff that you know, if you really sat and thought about it, that you know is not necessarily going to be there in 3 months, 3 years, maybe even 3 days? I mean, is your hope, are you making decisions based on the stuff that's just right in front of you? Just easy picking. Here's where it is. Or are you beginning to allow the hope of the resurrection to start to shape the way that you make decisions and say, you know what, I need to give that up in the present so that I can move towards the future that God's prepared for me because I have hope in who Jesus is and what he's doing in my life. Here's what happens. Is that you place your hope in that are temporary and are just for a few weeks, a few moments. They will let you down. They will let you down. You could take a little survey this morning. And I guarantee that almost everybody in this room could tell you, at some point or another, when you build your hope and you build your life and you build your choices on that stuff that's right in front of you, it will fail you. And you will be left to try to piece back the pieces of your decisions again. And it's going to be a painful process. But if you start to make your choices, pressing your face against this window of hope, here's what I know. Jesus will never fail you. He won't give up on you. And his word and his kingdom at work in your life will not let you down. So if you're here this morning, you're not yet following Jesus, you haven't made that decision, here's the reason I ask people to make that choice to begin to follow Jesus, is because his kingdom is the only thing that will not fail us in this world and in the next world. His kingdom is the only thing that's guaranteed. Everything else is guaranteed to fall apart. His kingdom will not. And if you're following Jesus already, here's what I need to plead with you this morning. He has asked you to do something. It may be in your marriage. It may be with your kids. It may be at your workplace. It may be in your school environment. He's asking you to do something. And as you sit here this morning, you understand. You are just wrestling with this idea that maybe I should just give up. I mean, maybe all of this work that I'm putting into this, maybe it doesn't even matter. And here's the only thing I can say to you this morning. If you are working for God's kingdom in that place, it matters. It matters. And you cannot afford to lose hope and give up now. Because he's got something prepared for you in that place. When we allow that hope for the resurrection to change the way that we look at the world, it gives us hope for the future. But it also fuels our work in the present. And we work for God's kingdom now. We make our choices for God's kingdom now because Jesus died on Friday, because he was alive again on Sunday, and because his life is going to be our life at some point in the future. And it's part of us right now. I'm going to ask you to pray with me this morning, and I'm going to ask our worship team to come.